Maybe people are thinking, as I'm looking outside at all the dead trees, like there's yeah, no
same,
there's,
sister, same. No leaves.
No leaves, no flowers. Although the sun came out today. So yes, that is a big micro joy here. I don't think the sun has come out for like 10 days.
We don't need to chase this concept of happiness all the time. We can be joyful beings and still experience difficult moments, still experience those moments that bring us to our knees. It's not either or, you know, it's not binary in that way.
Welcome, Cindy.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's so great to have you to talk about what we so need right now, which is micro joys in our lives. But let's first get a little bit of backstory from you as to kind of how you came to finding these small and sometimes not so small experiences to bring joy into what has been some really tough times for you.
Yeah. So the sort of definition that I've given to the word micro joys is this: they are easily accessible moments of joy that exist regardless of our current circumstances. So what that means is that they are there, whether we are going through difficult times or going through ordinary times or going through the most beautiful of times. Our role in this is to notice them. And the backstory is 2020, as the world, as we were all experiencing a global pandemic. 3 months into the pandemic, my 32-year-old nephew was murdered walking to a friend's house.
I'm so sorry.
4 months after that, my beloved Mama Shelley, my mother, passed away unexpectedly. Within a month of my mom's passing, my 48-year-old brother had a stroke and then went into cardiac arrest and spent the next 10 weeks in the ICU. By the grace of God, he made it home. And within a month of him coming home, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And all of that happened in the middle of a pandemic. So, you know, I was planning funerals and we could have, for my nephew's funeral, we could have 10 people. For my mother's, we could have 30. Again, it was a different time. So I went through a lot in a very short amount of time. And I'll back up for just a moment to say this. Prior to this, in 2018, I wrote a book called A Year of Positive Thinking. So I wrote that book before 2020 happened. And it's not to say that that book does not stand true. I mean, it stands the test of time. It's people read it every year. But I was not the same woman after going through the amount of loss that I did. And everything I knew to be true about positive psychology and positive thinking just did not feel like it applied to me when I was in the depth of my grief. And so I began to sort of talk publicly about, again, I didn't have a full definition at the time, but I called them micro joys. And one example that I remember is making a left out of my apartment and seeing this bright yellow on the ground. And I looked down to see the daffodils were blooming. And so the daffodils didn't care that my mom had passed. They didn't care that my nephew died. They were blooming anyway. And though I didn't go out consciously looking for them, it was something that caught my attention that for a split second offered me respite from all of the loss and grief, right? It didn't try to change it. It simply allowed me this moment to notice something else. That is really what micro joys are. And that's where they started. And here we are 3 years later.
I want to talk more about micro joys, but first I'm very curious about this notion of positive thinking and what it is that shifted for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, positive thinking. You know, I've always been an optimist. The reality was that when I was in the depth of my own loss, I didn't want to think positively. I didn't want to find a silver lining. In fact, I didn't want to think at all. And I say this sometimes, you know, I really feel like in that moment, all I had to do was feel, maybe for the first time, was to not use my brain and simply feel and follow my intuition around what I needed. And positive psychology is a science. It's not toxic positivity. It's not a concept that, you know, Instagram owns, even though it feels like it sometimes. So I'm certainly not suggesting that it's invalid, but what I knew to be true for myself is that any of the concepts that I learned in positive psychology were very far removed from where I was in that moment. I needed intuition, not science.
So with this notion of positive psychology, you said you need intuition, not science. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is I didn't need, in that moment, I needed to just feel. I needed to fall to my knees. I needed to fall apart. And I needed to feel what I needed to do next. I love research. I love reading. I love all the data behind things. And in this moment, I didn't need any of that. I simply needed to be. And sometimes that meant sitting around doing nothing. Sometimes that meant maniacally painting my walls. Like, I simply needed to follow what my intuition was suggesting at any particular moment in the middle of my loss. And I think that so often we ignore our intuition and we look towards everybody else to give us the answers.
Well, and I think you're so, I have this push-pull with positive psychology as well as a therapist, because I'm like, okay, but it seems like the pendulum kind of swung to this high vibes only, not allowing yourself to feel the range of experience and emotion. And what I'm hearing you say is, had you gotten stuck in kind of that positive psychology movement, I don't want to say movement, positive psychology thinking around these experiences, it probably would have limited your grieving process or postponed it, if you didn't really allow yourself to dig into the depths of what I would imagine was despair, given everything you experienced.
Yeah, I think that that is exactly right for me. And again, I like to just be clear about that, because this is not something I'm saying is true for everyone. But for me in that moment, had I tried to think my way out of it, I don't think I would have grieved the way I did, you know, that kind of loss. I needed to just be in it, to lose that much so quickly, and to really sort of feel my own foundation fall out from underneath me. I needed to feel it. And had I gone to, you know, the research that I know to look for what to do next, I would not have grieved the way I needed to in that moment.
And I think, not to be prescriptive here, but I think that's what everybody needs when they're grieving, is to really dig into those intense, overwhelming feelings that you feel like you'll never be able to get your way out of. With the help of a good therapist, it can really move you through.
And I'm glad you said with the help of a good therapist, right? Because I don't think that we are all naturally equipped to do that on our own, you know? And so yes, with the help of a good therapist, we could all feel things a bit more deeply than we allow ourselves to, for sure.
Right. It might be a don't try this at home.
Yes, exactly.
Prescription.
Or try it at home, but on Zoom with the therapist.
Right. Lots of ways to access therapy these days.
That's right.
So let's get back to micro joys, because I just love this concept so much. And ever since I came across your book, I started really thinking about how I could be incorporating micro joys into my everyday life. And micro joys really differ from happiness. So can you talk about that differentiation a little bit for people?
Yeah, and there's different schools of thought. But For me, happiness is fleeting. It is temporary. It's retail therapy. There's nothing wrong with happiness. But I think in Western culture, we've decided that it's something we need to chase and live in day in and day out. And that's just not the way that I perceive, or it's not the way that I choose to be, right? So happiness is this very temporary and fleeting moment, where joy is an internal feeling. It is how we show up in the world. It has nothing to do with what we have or own materially. It is simply what comes through us. It is the lens we see the world through. And we've seen this. You know, I talk sometimes about my aunt who was 85. She passed last year. She didn't have a lot, right, materially, but she was one of the most joyful spiritual women that you'd ever meet. You know,
and to joyful, me, spiritual.
Joyful. I'm not saying it has to go together, but it helps sometimes.
Well, but I actually think it does. Yeah, I actually think it does, because I think that when you are emanating joy, you are spiritually aligned.
Yeah, well, it's a God energy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So when I think about the difference between happiness and joy, to me, they're very different. And one is not good and the other's not bad. They just are. They're not the same. And, you know, in Micro Joys, I talk a lot about this, but it's like, we don't need to chase this concept of happiness all the time. We can be joyful beings and still experience difficult moments, still experience those moments that bring us to our knees. It's not either or, you know, it's not binary in that way. So I really hope that Micro Joys is reframing that conversation around happiness and joy.
Well, and you said the joy is there, like the daffodils. I love that idea that it is there. We have to notice it.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we're in the depths of despair, it's really difficult to notice those. So at what point were you able to start noticing the micro joys in your life again after all of these significant losses?
You know, the first thing I'll say is that it was not conscious, right? I didn't go out and say, where can I discover these beautiful things? And something that I often suggest is, live a mindset of micro joys before you need them, essentially, you know, like start practicing this. Yeah. It's a practice like meditation. Don't wait until, you know,
right,
you fall into your knees.
Like a 30.
No, do it anyway. And it's the same with micro joys. And I think that, you know, in some ways I was probably predisposed to sort of tapping into micro joys because I'm an optimist, but I certainly don't think I don't own micro joys. We can all tap into them, but don't wait until you need them. If, however, you are in that place and you feel like you need them, then it has to be conscious, right? You get to decide, listen, for 2 minutes, I'm going to take a break from my grief. Don't put the pressure on yourself to feel like you should automatically be happy now, or you're going to go find micro joys and things are going to be better. No, micro joys coexist with your grief, your sadness, your loss, whatever it is that you're going through. So it really is this conscious practice of saying, for 2 minutes, I'm going to allow myself a moment of respite. I'm going to look around and I'm going to notice what is bringing me a sense of joy right now. It doesn't have to be forever. It's not permanent, but you do have to consciously decide that. And eventually you may not need to consciously decide it. It will just be there for you.
Mm-hmm. If you love the show, there are several ways you can show the love. You can go to patreon.com at Dr. Amy Robbins, just put in my name, and support the show in any monetary amount you feel comfortable. $5, $10, $20 a month makes the world of difference to me. So I would appreciate if you could support the show, if you're already supporting the show. There aren't enough ways to put into words how grateful I am for that support. It literally has made such a difference to me, and it is what keeps this show going. So thank you so much. Also, make sure you're subscribed anywhere you can get the show. You are following me on Instagram. Please subscribe to my newsletter, dramyrobbins.com, where I do bi-monthly soul wisdoms. I'm going to be getting back to that. I took a little break, but they are coming back. And also you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amy Robbins. That is where I'm the most active. That's the social media platform you can find me on the most frequently. And just reach out. Let me know your thoughts on a podcast. Share the podcast with friends, whomever you think would be interested in this topic. Just please pass it along. And thanks as always for your support. So it sounds like we said meditation, but it's also similar to a gratitude practice. You know, initially gratitude practices can feel a bit forced.
Yeah.
It's like, I am thankful for. And then eventually it becomes this internalized experience, this internalized practice, where you might just notice throughout the day, you're just feeling open-hearted and grateful.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like any practice, honestly. It's not just meditation or gratitude. It's any practice. Mm-hmm. Anything that's important enough for you to practice is going to eventually, hopefully, become second nature to you if you put in the time and energy to make it so. So I don't think it has to even, it doesn't just relate to spiritual practices. It relates to any practice that we have. If it's worth the time and energy to you to invest in it, you are reshaping, you know, your mindset. Mm-hmm. And so consider it, at least consider it.
Let's dig in and talk about some specific micro joys, because I'd love for people to hear the range of micro joys that you talk about in the book, not just, you know, maybe people are thinking, as I'm looking outside at all the dead trees, like there's
same. No leaves.
No leaves, no flowers. Although the sun came out today. So that is a big micro joy here. I don't think the sun has come out for like 10 days.
Same. Where are you, by the way? Where are you located?
Chicago.
Oh, okay. I'm in New Jersey and it's the same. Yeah.
It's like dark, dreary. It's hard to find micro joys in that.
It's winter, y'all. It's winter.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk to me a bit about some of the smaller micro joys and some of the, do we call them macro joys?
I don't assign sizes to the to the kind of joy. They're called micro joys, just so I'm clear here, in that they are easily accessible, not that they are small. Okay. And there are a range, right? Like one micro joy that I talk about in the book is cooking my mom's Thanksgiving dinner, right? And recreating that with my brothers. So there's that tradition, right? It's something that I've already experienced that in that moment brings me closer to spirit, to my mom, to our family unit, the way we once knew it. Another micro joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is gray outside and I have many vases with flowers in them in my office, you know, or I paint my walls bright colors because I know that I do better when it is bright and sunshiny. And so if I can't create what's out in the world, right? I can't change the weather, but I can change what's around me. And so a micro joy is our surroundings. And what are we bringing into our surroundings that bring us a sense of calm and groundedness and a semblance of joy?
And your adorable pink sweatshirt, which I love.
And right? My adorable, like, very fuzzy pink sweatshirt.
But I think you came on and then there's immediately a brightness to this conversation, right? Mm. And maybe it's conscious for you or not, but I noticed it immediately and it sets a different tone. As opposed to my gray sweater.
Well, you know what? I have gray sweaters too. What I will say is that color is very, very important to me. And it doesn't impact everyone the same way, but scientifically, right, color does have an impact on us. And for me, I'm very conscious of it. And so I always show up in color, regardless of the weather. My nails are always a bright color. My home is bright. And it's in many ways because of how I respond to my immediate surroundings. So for me, you know, color invigorates me. It excites me, particularly this time of year when it's so dark and gray out. That may not be true of other people. So I think micro joys are very individualized in the sense that what is true for me, and in the book, you know, I share 45 different micro joys and ways that you can really tap into that yourself. But what is joyful for me may not be for you. I also talk about things like these sort of moments where I can still feel my mom's presence, you know, or my nephew's presence. So some of them might feel more trivial, like picking yourself up a bouquet of flowers, and other ones just feel like they are on a different scale to me, even though, again, I don't like to judge the size of our microjoys. They're all easily accessible, but they really do vary, and they're going to vary depending on what is right and true for you and what brings you joy.
I want to circle back to this, the spirituality piece in a minute, but I wanted to talk about something that really resonated me because I was reading it and I was sort of thinking, oh, is my one of my simple microjoys actually a microjoy? But then you shared, and I'll share after you share, about the coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it probably resonates for so many people.
Yeah.
And an easily accessible one.
Yes. And that essay in particular in the book about, it's called The Color of Coffee. I remember turning that into my editor and saying, I know this is ridiculous, Margot. Like, I can't imagine anybody cares about this, right? And why this brings me such deep joy, this daily cup of coffee and having the perfect color of it and having the barista at my local coffee shop ask me about the color. You know, once you merge your coffee with milk, it changes color. And so the color of a perfect cup of coffee is a microjoy for me. And it has been one of those essays that I had no idea people would care so much about or relate to, but clearly it has impacted so many of us. What is one of your, do you have something that you drink, something that you eat every day?
Yeah, I have a similar experience. So I actually have it here because I had it this morning. I have my, my mug that says, let that shit go, that my best friend got for me. It is a constant reminder in the morning. Yeah. And I have it with my I used to go and buy matcha, mm-hmm. and matcha lattes are expensive. I mean, coffee's expensive, but that's like, so I taught myself how to make it at home. So I have this process. And then I also take my little shot of this Magic Mind Elixir, which I love
cool
with
name.
It. Yeah, yeah, I know. It's so fun. They're both like these little green boosts of joy in the morning for me. Uh-huh. And it's got like all the things that I'm always thinking about that I want in something, like the mushrooms and the adaptogens and the extra matcha, just mm-hmm. to get me through my day. And it really has felt like in the morning when I do this, it becomes like a ritualistic experience.
Yes.
That I really lean into. And I'm like, okay, it's my time. I'm gonna drink my matcha and let go of kind of whatever I'm bringing into the day that's not gonna serve me. And then this little do more, stress less shot of Magic Mind to get me through the rest of the day. So it's just an awesome like way to start off every single day for me.
And it's that ritual, right? It's the idea of doing the same thing day in and day out, whether, you know, you're having a special elixir, a shot of elixir or a coffee or a matcha, or maybe it's just, you know, warm lemon water, whatever it is for you. It's that idea that you have this ritual in your day to day that brings you a sense of calm, a sense of joy, so that you're starting out from that place and not waking up kind of shaking with anxiety. And that really is, I think, what's so powerful about microjoys. And the reason that I always say, you know, the size doesn't matter. We're not talking about size. We're talking about the things that are always available to you that you simply have to notice. You're having that beverage in the morning, whether or not, you know, you talk about it, right? You're having it, but you get to acknowledge in that moment that you're enjoying it, like, wow, this is actually a really lovely way to start my day. Most times we don't do that. We're just on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And microjoys say, you know what, take a minute to acknowledge what you are doing in each moment, or at least in some of the moments throughout your day.
Spiritual experiences. Obviously, that's a big part of my podcast and something I love digging into for people. And you put it out there in the book. Clearly, you were open and spirituality is part of your life. But had you had experiences previous to these significant losses, or do you feel like these losses sort of opened you up to a greater connection?
I think both. I have always felt deeply connected to spirit. I've had a meditation practice for the past 18 years. You know, I lost my dad when I was 28, my dad passed away. And I hadn't necessarily experienced any real pull or felt a sense that he was there always the way I do with my mom. And I think it has to do with the relationships we have with people when they are alive. Losing my mom and my nephew was 10 when I was born, or I was 10 when he was born. So he was like a little brother more so than a nephew.
Yeah.
And I think losing such important people in my life almost opened a gateway to spirit that wasn't open before, or that was cracked before.
Which is so common.
It is. It is common, right? And to experience that firsthand and to really, and again, I want to be mindful that I'm not making this loss, like creating a silver lining out of loss. Loss is garbage and it sucks. But it really did sort of open this door where I learned over the past few years to change my relationship with them. So not to cut it off and say, you're gone now, that's it, which I think so many of us do around death is, you know, we lose a person and we mourn them forever, which is okay. But for me, it became this idea, almost an evolving of our relationship or a transforming of our relationship, where I just have a different relationship with my mom. She is still present, just not in physical form. And that became very, very clear to me, I'd say within 3 to 6 months of my mom's passing.
Would you feel comfortable sharing what some of those experiences have been? I know you shared one in the book.
Yeah, yeah.
That particularly stuck out to me.
I share, I think, a few in the book, but oh gosh, I feel like they happen all the time.
There was one in the book about AirPods.
Yeah. I was trying to give you something new that I haven't talked about before.
Okay, give new.
Well, the AirPods is a really good one, and that's top of mind. So let's go with that one.
And then let's get another one too for listeners who read the book or are going to read the book, so they can
they will definitely read the book. More. Okay, I'll tell you the one about the barbecue grill. My brother was grilling his dinner in the backyard. It was a fall night, no wind or anything, just a regular fall night, was grilling pork chops. He heard the doorbell ring, so he went to the front door, answered the door, got caught up in a conversation for 20 minutes with the grill on in the backyard and, you know, on high because he was watching it. He went back and he was like, oh shit, you know, I know it's going to happen. There's going to be a fire in the back, like just sort of expecting that there would be some small fire to put out, something would happen. And he got back there and he called me a few minutes later. He's like, you're not going to believe what happened. He said, I left the pork chops on the grill for 20 minutes, completely forgot about them. And I went back. There's no wind outside. All of the burners were off and the pork chops were perfectly cooked. He said, Cindy, nobody else was here. I said to him, I said, Bob, what time did that happen? He told me the time it happened and it aligned perfectly with when I had a thought about my mom. And I said, Mom, if you are here, if you are still with us, please show me. I kid you not.
Wow. That's crazy. The burners are off.
Burners are off. No wind. Nothing would have blown the fire out. Burners were off, pork chops perfectly cooked. And it was in tandem with the moment that I said to my mom in a completely different part of the state, Mom, if you're still around me, just show me that you're still around us. And I said to my brother when he called, I said, when did this happen? And things like that happen, you know, and they've continuously happened. You know, he'll say, I was looking for something. And mommy always said that I didn't know where these, because we still say mommy even in our 40s and 50s and forever. And he'll say, you know, I'm pretty sure she showed me where it was. I had no way of knowing where this thing was. And she showed me where it was. So I just think there are a lot of moments like that. You know, I have a picture of my mom in almost every room in the house, not my bathroom, because she wouldn't want that. But I really do feel this sense of her presence and having her pictures around, even if I'm not staring at them day in and day out, there's something about the energy or the presence of feeling my mom there. So when I cook in the kitchen, you know, I grew up with a big old Jewish mama who was always cooking a lot.
Always stripping you.
Yeah, exactly. Stripping me.
Right.
But she's constantly around when I'm in the kitchen. I can feel her around when I'm in the kitchen, in many ways judging and saying, Cindy, turn the flame down. But also,
not how I used to do it.
Yeah.
God love a Jewish mother.
I taught you better, Sin. I taught you better. But I can just feel her energy and her presence. And it's so beautiful to me. And again, I say this in the book. I said, I want to honor where everyone is on their own spiritual journey. If this does not feel like it aligns with who you are, then I'm certainly not suggesting that this be true for you. I'm saying consider it. And if this feels like it aligns with your beliefs, then consider that when someone dies, that isn't the end. But I'm not here trying to change people's minds who insist that it is. That is your belief and you're entitled to that.
Well, and that's always what I mean, that is the point of this podcast is not to, and when I got to a place where it wasn't about me needing other people to believe this, but where I could just show possibilities and maybe give hope to one person who felt really disconnected from their loved one and finally was like, oh my God, maybe there is an opportunity for me to connect in that way, then it's worth it. Then it's worth opening people up to exactly what you're talking about, which I think is a micro joy.
Mm-hmm. It is a micro joy. And that's why, again, I don't say there's no scale to micro joys, but that really is a micro joy. Being able to share our experience is a micro joy. The way that people light up when they share their own experience is such a micro joy. And I think it's part of the reason, and I think this will be true for you too, why we like to ask questions, why we like to inquire, is because the joy, the exchange of joy that we get from one another when we allow folks to show up and to share, you know, is palpable.
Mm-hmm. And to listen to people, to hear people's stories.
Yeah.
So you said something really interesting in the end of the book, which I think many people feel when they have a series of bad events that happened to them. I probably shouldn't use quotes for that, but different people define bad events differently.
Sure.
But feeling like you're cursed in some way. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is not uncommon for people to, one, in the spiritual space, I think there's a lot of danger around talk of this, like you've attracted this to you in some way, or you've brought this on. So I really want people to be mindful of that. Like, we don't necessarily bring on what you've talked about. Sometimes there are things that we have responsibility for in other ways, but certainly not in the way that you brought on, like, your nephew getting murdered or, you know, your mom dying. So I just want to put that out there for people to hear, because in this space, it can get a little dicey with that. But what do you mean by that? I know that's not what you meant to.
No, I know. Honestly, I didn't have that thought. A friend asked me if I was cursed. A dear friend actually said to me, it was this moment where it just felt like things just kept happening. And she said to me, she said, Sin, I hate to ask you this, but do you think you're cursed? And I thought about it for a second, and the answer was no, I don't. I think shitty things happen to good people. And sometimes they happen all at once. We are all looking for a reason why. We need something to grasp onto. And truly, I think what she was saying is, if you're cursed, then this probably won't ever happen to me, because that's a you thing.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right?
I think we look for, and understandably, we look for these protective mechanisms. It's like if someone is diagnosed with an illness, or you want to know, like, what happened? Like, what did they eat? What did they do?
How did you cause this? How did you cause this?
So I can say, I'm not going to cause that.
I'm not going to get that. In hindsight, I understand, right? It's like, yeah, she's just making sure she's not in for the same thing that you know, whatever caught me. Says, am I going to catch this?
Right.
And so in hindsight, I understand what she was asking. But yeah, no, I never felt cursed. I also felt like I'd have enough lived experience to see that this, like, what a blessing if you've never experienced this amount of loss. But, and it is not uncommon for these things to happen in cycles the way that it did for me. And I think having witnessed that in other people, it certainly didn't make it easier. It didn't make me feel better, but I also understood that it wasn't as impossible as it seemed.
And it really is what it means to be human.
Yeah.
For better, for worse. Sometimes it just feels like it all piles on at once.
Yeah. And I think that is just the reality of honestly living a great life. It means that you're out there and you're doing the things and life is happening around you, and that sometimes we are going to experience these moments. And God willing, what I experienced in 10 months isn't going to be exactly what someone else does, but there are so many ways that we feel these things coming on all at once. And when we realize that it doesn't make us, I remember writing a post at one point saying, you know, I'm not special in all of this. It doesn't make us special. It means that we now have to sit in our stuff and try to figure out the next step that we can take. But this happens to people.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make us special. It makes us human.
Makes us human. That's it. Like, again, and to be special would be I'm cursed. I'm not cursed. I'm not special enough to be cursed, right? I'm just a regular person. And this is the way these events played out. I don't need to tie that into any sort of bigger thing. It just is life. Mm-hmm. And this is the way life happened. And there's no benefit to me needing to find this bigger purpose in that, you know?
Right. Or greater. I don't want to say greater. I think you find meaning not in looking at why did this happen, but in looking at how I can grow from what happened.
Yeah, I think that is possible. And I think it's really important to also acknowledge that you don't need to figure out how you can grow when you are in the middle of this.
Right.
Sometimes that is a lesson that is in hindsight.
Absolutely.
And that was the thing that when, you know, I started talking about microjoys was really important to me, that I not look for the bright side of this, that I not look for the lessons in this. Like now I'm 3 years out and I can see some of that, you know, even as I mentioned about the relationship that's evolved with my mom and with my nephew. But it's certainly not for anyone who's listening, who's in the middle of it. Now's not the time to look for the lessons.
No.
You don't have to do that. Like you're off the hook.
I agree with you on that. And that's what post-traumatic growth talks about, right?
It's right. Like
when you're in the middle of it, you're in it. And what said is like, you gotta be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way forward if you don't. There's no way to move forward if you don't allow yourself, because it'll come back. Mm-hmm. It'll come back at you, whether it's today or next year or in 6 months or whatever it may be. But yeah, we have to just sit in it sometimes, as hard as that is.
Do you feel like your continued connection with your mom and your nephew has helped throughout your process?
Wildly so. I remember it was 6 months after my nephew passed away and two months after my mom passed away. I was in bed with my husband. We were asleep. I continued to just wake up in the middle of the night. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and trying not to wake him because he had to go to work the next morning. I came into my office where I am now recording this, got on my knees, and I couldn't stop bawling. I just couldn't stop crying. Like, it wouldn't come out. And I remember saying, like, how could you leave? All of the things that we feel in that moment. And it was shortly after that that I felt this relationship shift with them. You know, I also spent time with a psychic, with a psychic medium, which changed a lot. But I think to answer your question, it absolutely shifted my grieving, having this evolving relationship to them. And some might say, well, you know, that's a protective mechanism for you because you need to feel like they're there. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't care. But it has absolutely allowed me to move forward with my life in a way that I remember the person I was in that moment when I was on my knees. And I am not that person today, not because she was bad and I am good, but because instead I've realized that there are these connections to them still that in that moment I just didn't know about. And I felt so betrayed and lost, as if they had done this to me. And then some greater God had done this to all of us between my brother's health and my health. And I no longer feel that. I feel like there's just a much greater connection to those who are here and those who aren't physically.
So beautiful. So beautifully put too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy, for sharing your micro joys and your mom, your story, your mom, your nephew, your dad, your brother, everybody, your own. Yeah. If people are interested in learning about your work and learning about micro joys and wanting to think positively, where can they find you?
anywhere on the internet, really just about anywhere. They can go to my website. They can, anywhere their favorite books are sold, they can buy a copy of my first book, A Year of Positive Thinking, or my second book, Microjoys. But I'm on social media. I'm everywhere at Cindy Spiegel. So they can
and
find
me. And I love
me.
It's Cindy with a Y and an I-E.
It is. C-Y-N-D-I-E.
Creative spelling of the name. I love it.
You know, my mom used to say, my name is actually Cynthia. And so my mom's like, you can do whatever you want. It's not your name anyway. At this point, it's my name.
Right.
She was like, I don't care. Do it. Spell it however you want to.
Well, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your story and your heart. I really, really appreciate it.
What a privilege. Thank you.
Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.